It is often said, revenge is sweet. What is it about human nature that causes people to seek after revenge? And then a follow-up question to that is revenge really that sweet? Hey, listen, grab your Bible, stick around. In just a few minutes, we're going to be looking at Joseph's faith in God's sovereignty out of the book of Genesis, chapter 50. We'll see you in just a minute. Hey, good evening, folks. Welcome to the Wednesday evening Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. My name is Roy Carter. I pastor at Central Baptist. We're glad that you're joining us for our Bible study this evening. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn on over to the book of Genesis, chapter 50. We've been, for the past several weeks, looking at aspects of the story of Joseph and the way things had gone with his family, the way his brothers were. We looked at all of the bad things that kept on happening to Joseph. And one of those is what we're going to look at this evening. If you remember several weeks ago or in previous scriptures, Joseph's brothers just really hated him in the beginning of his story. And they essentially were going to try to kill him. They wound up not killing him, but they did sell him into slavery into Potiphar's house. And then when he got into Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. Although Joseph was faithful, then he was put into prison, and in prison it was a situation where he was still blessed and put in charge of so many things. Matter of fact, essentially the prison. Then he had the opportunity to interpret a dream for the king, and essentially finds himself being the number one, besides the king, he was the number one guy in the whole land. That dream he interpreted was about the 7 years of really, really plentiful when it came down to the harvest. Then it would be followed by 7 years of extreme and severe drought. So Joseph made a recommendation to the king. He said, during that 7 good years, you need to just store up in barns. You need to have the food so that when the 7 years of severe drought comes along, you will have enough food to be able to survive that 7 years. So the king said, okay, not a problem. That's a great plan. Here you go. You're in charge of it. In fact, he said over pretty much everything of the whole country, Joseph was in charge of it, other than matters of the throne. Okay. Well, so what happens is we know that as our story has been progressing, everybody kept having to come to him for food by which to survive. And that included his family and those brothers that tried to kill him. So you remember how I started off with our message this evening? I asked you, is revenge really that sweet? Because it's, people have said that before. They're like, how sweet it is to be able to get revenge. Joseph was in a perfect position to be able to get revenge on the brothers that tried to kill him. So, we find out that that's not the case. That is not what happened with it. But let's pick up our reading in the book of Genesis, chapter 50, and we're going to be beginning at verse 15. That's Genesis chapter 50, beginning with verse 15. It says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sins, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Verse 18, then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Verse 22. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household. And Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knee. Verse 24, and Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this evening, we ask that you would, Lord, open our hearts, that you would open our minds to your word, that you would teach us. Father, the situation that we're going to talk about this evening is one of those that many of us deal with. And there are times when we have to make a choice whether or not we desire revenge or whether we desire to be in the center of your will, whether we desire to show forth the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control. So, Father, right now, I just pray that you will keep us free of distraction, that we might truly have a tune our hearts and our minds into what you have to say to us this evening through your word. And please, Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. But we also pray that you'll give us what we need to be able to adjust our lives to be in keeping with your will. So, Father, bless this, your servant, for these moments, that you would truly be high and lifted up as you draw all men unto you, as we pray this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. You know, as we look at these particular passages, our story, Joseph has been miraculously reunited with his family. If you will remember in the passages leading into this, how they came to him for food. They didn't really recognize him. He recognized them, and yeah, he toyed with them a little bit along the way. But at this particular point, he has been reunited with his family. Yeah, after their father had died, there were some fears that Joseph's brothers had concerning their relationship with Joseph. Now, let me call your attention over there to verse 15. Verse 15 says, and when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. See, they were afraid. They knew what they had done to Joseph. Now, remember I said a moment ago, Joseph was in a perfect position to enact revenge upon those brothers. You know, it would have been very easy for him to have said, yeah, you're the guys that tried to kill me. And then you're the guys that sold me into slavery. And that ravel of things that took place that were not good were all because of your hands. You know, you took me away from my father. You know, so, you know, I have all the right in the world to be angry. I have all the right in the world to exercise revenge. And at this particular point, Joseph was in a place to be able to enact that revenge upon those brothers. Now, the word tells us right there in verse 15 that his brothers were concerned about that. You know, they had a fear of what is Joseph going to do, because he's in a place to do it, and we treated him terrible. Now, maybe their conscience was bothering them, but the one thing that they knew indeed was that they had, in fact, been, you know, hateful, terrible to their brother, and essentially they realized that if there was going to be some revenge, they actually felt like they deserved it. So that was essentially their actions. Now, I want you to think for a minute, in what ways do our evil deeds seem to come back and haunt us? There's that expression that says, what goes around comes around. And it's often true. When you're out there, if you're out there doing evil deeds, they have a way of being able to come back and haunt you. They have a way of being able to come back on you to the point where you're sitting there thinking, And it's ironic that somehow we always seem to remember what put us in that particular position in the same way that Joseph's brothers in this particular passage did. Because remember, it says right there, he said, you know, we did evil to him. You know, how is he going to treat us when it comes down to that particular, you know, position? I mean, we've been reunited, but, you know, what's going on? So that was their brother's response to their fears. Now, Joseph also made a response to what it was that their brother said. Now, if you were Joseph, I've always said it in this manner. If you were in Joseph's position, what would you have done? Now, remember all the things that Joseph has been through. You know, he had a right to be upset with his brothers. But most of us, the natural inclination, the natural reaction is to get even. That's just what it is. It's human nature. So his brothers were in fear of that. But let's go to verses 16 through 18 and let's look at how Joseph responded to the fear of those brothers. In verses, start with verse 16, it says, so they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brothers and their sins, for they did evil to you. Yeah, that's some confession right there. The verse goes on, verse 17 goes on. It says, now, please forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Yeah, Joseph was brought to tears. Now, in all honesty, I don't know why those tears were. I mean, I know there have been times that people have been so frustrated when they have dealt with a situation of anger and potential revenge that a person might know that, you know, I shouldn't react this way. And there's that inner struggle that they have. I know what I should do, but that's not what I want to do. Everybody listening to my voice on this broadcast, you've been there. You're like, I know what I should do. I know the godly thing to do. It's just not what I want to do. Now, honestly, I don't think that was Joseph's heart when it came down to this particular passage. I think it was just that he was in a position where he was finally realizing that, yeah, here my brothers are making this confession. And what he did was he came back to them. He made a response to them in regard to their request. He responded in verses 19 through 21. So let's look at what his response was. And then I ask you, in a situation like this, how would you respond? In verse 19, Joseph answers them. He says, and Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. And remember, they were afraid. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? Now, hold that thought for a minute. Let me repeat it. Particularly verse 19, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is to this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Now, there would be a lot of us that would read this story and we would sit back and say, man, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if I could have done what Joseph did. I don't know if I could have had that same, you know, calm, forgiving demeanor towards somebody who had done, you know, such evil to me. Now, I want us to go back and consider those verses. He told him, he said, do not be afraid. But he asked a question. He said, for am I in the place of God? Now consider it for a moment. What did he mean when he said, am I in the place of God? You know, what he was saying there was, it's not up to me to judge. I am not the one to judge. How many times throughout the word of God, or particularly in a pointed place where God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus saith the Lord. See, folks, too many of us are trying to go out and get revenge or have our vengeance when God says, look, you turn it over to me. I will take care of it. I will be the one who will make sure that you are justified in the end. Now, Joseph was basically telling his brothers this when he said, for am I in the place of God? He's saying, I don't have the right or the opportunity to judge you. I don't have the right or the opportunity to bring about vengeance against you. He's saying, I am not God. That is God's job. Can we say that? When we're in circumstances such as that, can we say, you know what, as mad as this makes me, even if I'm in a position by which to enact revenge against my enemies, Should I do that? You see, when you enact revenge against the person who has wronged you, then you are standing in the place of God. You are sitting in the judgment seat, and you are standing in the ways of vengeance for what took place. And God said, that's not your position. That is not your place. That is my position, and that is my place. You need to hand it over to me. You see, we have a hard time doing that. And often we have a hard time doing that because, you know, we don't think God is doing it right. We don't think God is, you know, just, you know, putting the screws on him hard enough. We want to see him suffer a little bit. Now, I can make you a promise. If you turn it over to God, God's vengeance will come about. And often the same people that you are praying that God just put the screws on, later on you'll be praying, God, how about giving them a break? Now, some of you are sitting there going, no, not me, not in the case of so-and-so, or not in the case of XYZ. But I promise you, if you put it in God's hands, it's gonna come out better for you. Now, he's saying to his brothers at this point, I'm not God. I don't have the right to enact revenge against you. But then he went on and he said something very pointed in verse 20. He said, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is today, to save many people alive. Man, did Joseph ever have one of the greatest perspectives as he went through those tough times? He said, what you, my brothers, meant to bring about evil in my life, God meant it for good. God used it. Now, one of the things that I've mentioned around here at Central Baptist Church, we talk about the sovereignty of God. Now, sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't really understand that. What does that mean? Let me give you a non-church definition of sovereignty. Okay, when we consider the sovereignty of God, that basically means that God can do whatever he wants to whomever he wants, at any time that he wants, and here's a key part, and be justified in doing it, okay? We have to understand God's sovereignty in our lives. When we look back over this story of Joseph, we see how all the things that took place in his life were a part of God moving him to where he wanted to use him, putting him in that place to essentially be the one to be the, and I use this term loosely, the savior over the people that were starving to death. He was in the position. God gave him the idea. This is what I want you to do. I have placed you here. Well, you know what? He never would have been there if it hadn't started off with the very first act where his brothers betrayed him. Then his brothers sold him into slavery. If that hadn't happened, he never would have been in Potiphar's household. You know, God made him a good looking man, and then Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, but because of that, he wound up in prison. Well, if he wasn't in prison, he never would have been able to have interpreted the dream that got back to the king, and then the king called him to interpret his dream in which he wound up being placed in charge. Do you see the domino effect of good, not bad? See, most of the time, our focus is upon the bad things. We've said this before. If there was ever a guy who had the right to say, why me, Lord, it was Joseph. You know, he could have said, you know, I've tried following you, Lord, but all the circumstances of my life don't seem to be where I am seeing victory come about. You know, why is it that I am stuck here in prison? Why is it that my brothers hate me? None of that was his fault. But let me tell you, every last bit of it was God bringing him to the point where he could use him. Now, let's go back to that verse 20 for just a minute, because he sums it up so nicely in verse 20. He says, he's talking to his brothers. He says, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day. In other words, he's just basically telling them, I wouldn't be where I am today had you not done what you did to me all those years ago. And then he goes on in the latter part of verse 20 to say, to save many people alive. You know, Joseph was essentially being used by God with everything, but particularly with the plan of the food during the 7 years of plenty, so that when it got to the 7 years of drought, God could use him in a very, very special way. So how many of us can really look at our circumstance, maybe the one that you're going through right now, and you want revenge so bad? Understand this, that what the world means for evil, God means it for good. And he goes on and says, in order that he may get you where he wants you to be, where he can use you to the maximum potential. And it may even be to save many people, just as Joseph was stating here in verse 20. So does that give us a different perspective on the things that we're talking about? Does it give a different perspective on the things that you and I are looking at today as we go through the situations and problems, much like Joseph did? I want to read for you Romans 8:28, because I think it's very, very fitting at this particular time. So bear with me. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Now, many of us have heard that verse 1,000 times, but can you see how it plays into effect, particularly with what Joseph said in answering his brothers in this particular passage? All things. That includes the things you're going through right now. That includes, you know, every aspect of your life, even the things that you're sitting there about ready to throw your hands up and walk away from God, to walk away from Christianity, to walk away from whatever it may be. You need to understand that as a believer, when you are following the Lord, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Does that, once again, give you a different perspective on how you're viewing your situation? I really hope it does. I hope that causes you to pause and to step back and think that even in the midst of your anger or frustration or your potential desire to enact vengeance upon your enemies, you have to understand that you are where you are because God has allowed you to do that. And what you think might be meant for evil, God is meaning it for good in your life. Now, that verse of Romans 8:28 that we just read, how does that verse relate to Joseph's understanding of that situation as we read about it in verse 20? Okay, look at verse 20 once again. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Remember, all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose." That is exactly how this particular passage dovetails with what we read over, you know, in the New Testament. You know, you have to think about it. You know, in what ways did God cause the evil done to Joseph to work out for his good? That everything that happened to him was part of God getting him where he needed to be to use him in the way that he needed to use him. You know, we traced those steps just a minute ago, from the time that his brothers were going to kill him to where they threw him in the pit, to where he was sold into Potiphar's household, where Potiphar's wife tried to, you know, seduce him, to where he winds up in prison. He interprets a dream in prison. That gets back to the king. The king's having a problem with the dream, so they call Joseph, you know, out of prison. He interprets the dream. Then at that point, he's put pretty much over all the region to work out the plan with the food. Now, folks, you have to understand, all this stuff took time. Yeah, even through the drought, you got to remember that before the drought, there were 7 years of when the fields were producing grain, when the barns were being built and all the food was being stored up. Then there was 7 years of drought. I mean, if you add the 7 and the 7, if this happened more toward the end of the severe drought, that's 14 years. Some of us want God to work, but we want God to work on our time. And let me make you a promise. God does not work on your time. He doesn't work on my time. He works on his time. And why? Because all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. I pray that you can embrace those passages as you struggle today, as you go through that circumstance and situation. I'm asking you to reach out and embrace the sovereignty of God. Okay. Now, I've said before that as we go through our Bible studies, we look for an attitude to change. You know, how can your personal faith in God's sovereignty help you to endure the evil and the suffering that you may be going through at this particular point? Well, folks, it gives us hope. It helps us to see that we're not in the boat alone. It helps us to see that God's faithful and true, that he has not left us, he has not forsaken us, and that he's got a plan. And sometimes it takes those things in our lives to get us where God wants us to be, to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. Okay. Now, as we move on with our passages, we see that Joseph, you know, lived to be 110 years old. And there was a promise that God revealed to Joseph about his family before he died. Now, let me go over to verse 24 of our passage. Verse 24 says this. It says, yeah, and Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Well, what a promise. You know, this is something that they had been waiting for. They felt like they were in the quote unquote wilderness. They weren't where God wanted them to be. And Joseph, as he was lying on his deathbed, brings a word of the Lord to them. And he said this. He said, God is going to visit you. Not only is God going to visit you, he is going to bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. He's saying, you know what? God is continuing to be faithful. Don't give up. You hold on. It's coming. It's coming in his time. It's not coming in your time. It's coming in his time, you know? When you think about it, why is it that you think that God revealed to Joseph things that he didn't reveal to the others? You know, why do you think that he was the guy that God was talking to, you know, back in that day? Well, yeah, I can tell you this. Now, I'm not going to try to put myself in a position of judgment, but I can tell you I know for a fact. God speaks to those who seek him. Those who spend time with him, those who communicate with him, you know, on a daily basis, moment by moment, situation by situation. He speaks to those who get with him in his word. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes it's not the fact that God's not speaking. Sometimes it's more the fact that we're not listening. And God gives us devices through which to listen. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us his word. He gives us the opportunity to come to him in prayer. And yet we neglect it. We just kind of push it off to the side, or we don't let it take a priority in our life. Instead of it being at the top of the priority list, it's way down here. There are so many other things that take its place. You know, why don't we strive to be those that God is speaking to in a way that is very loud and very clear? Okay. Why do you think that Joseph, you know, made his brothers promise that they would carry his bones out of Egypt back to the land of promise? You know what? He was on a journey. That ultimate journey was to see that victory. He wanted to be a part of that victory, even if it meant just simply carry my bones, you know, and my life is ending. Yeah, I didn't get to see, to fruition what God has promised us. But don't leave me here. Don't leave me in this wilderness. Help me to be able to be there and to celebrate that victory, even if it means you carrying my bones, to the promised land. Okay. You think about it. What does this promise reveal about Joseph's faith? You see, even though they still weren't there, even though God had not ultimately brought them to that land of promise, Joseph still believed that it was going to happen. You know, it was still on the horizon. Joseph said, don't leave me here. This is not home. I want you to take me with you when you go to the place that God is going to give you, the place that God has promised us. Don't leave me here in Egypt. Take me, even if it's just my bones. Boy, does that not exercise great faith in Joseph's life? To know, and even though at the end of his life, he's sitting there saying, I'm not going to get to taste it, but you all will, but at least carry my old bones there so that I will make it to that land of promise, just like God has promised each and every one of us. Okay. Now, the next time you experience evil and suffering, and that may be even right now, what lessons can you draw from Joseph's testimony out of our passage today in chapter 50? Well, are there some things that you can grab hold of to sit back and say, you know what, I'm not alone in this boat. Joseph was here. Joseph was going through these things. Yeah, and you even look at the vast amount of time that Joseph went through them. Listen, if you're weary in your well-doing, take these lessons that we learned from Joseph in chapter 50 of Genesis and apply them to our lives today, because you know what? We serve the same God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did in Joseph's life, he will do for you as well. Isn't that a great promise? Yeah. How can your faith in God's sovereign ways help you to become more forgiving and more compassionate to those who hurt you. You know, when you find yourself in that place wanting to enact or exact revenge against those who have wronged you, remember the passage of Joseph. Remember that he allowed God to be the one who would bring about the vengeance. And in doing so, we look at this story. We find some brothers that were pretty afraid of him at that particular point. They're sitting there saying, you know, we did a lot of evil and bad stuff to him. What if he decides to do that? And then Joseph had an opportunity, a moment to bring about healing in his family. And instead of sitting back saying, I got you just where I want you, I'm going to put my boot on the back of your neck and I'm going to turn it. Now, he didn't do that. Now, he said, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you and we're going to be back together. We're going to be a family again. There's going to be reconciliation. And folks, that is what God wants more than anything. If you give God the chance, he'll line it up for you. But you've got to trust in his sovereignty. You've got to turn the situation over to him. And then you have to allow him to work in the situation without us putting our hands on it. You know what we need to do? We need to pray today that God will give us faith to believe that all things truly do work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his purposes. In just a minute, I'm going to do that. Listen, let me go ahead and give you your Bible readings for this week. If you're new to our broadcast or our Wednesday evening Bible study, one of the things that we do, I just ask you to read one chapter each day for 5 days during a 7-day week. That means that even gives you 2 days to be a little lazy if you want to. I don't want you to read ahead. I don't want you to go back. I don't want you to try to cram it all in at one time. I want you to really meditate on that one chapter that you read each day of that particular week. This week, we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 1 through Exodus chapter 5. Those are your five chapters. That's Exodus chapter 1 through Exodus chapter 5. Next week, we're going to be discussing Moses and the burning bush out of Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 22. So spend a little time and study in there. We will look forward to having you back with us next week at the same time, this same place, so that we can once again gather around God's word. Now, one thing as a reminder to our folks here that are tuning in, that are part of Central Baptist Church, and even if you're not, man, we would love to have you if you're in the area and you can make it. Don't forget, we're going to be having a breakfast on Easter Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m., followed by our Easter Sunday service at 10:45 a.m. Be sure to sign up. There's a sign-up sheet out there in our narthex. But if you're not from around here, but you want to be here for that breakfast or you want to come, you can call our church office. Our website is listed on the screen here. It's www.oakridgecbc.org. We would love to have you come celebrate the resurrection with us on Easter Sunday morning. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're so grateful and thankful that every aspect and every concept of our life, you have your hand on. Lord, I pray that as we continue to go through life, when we find ourselves in situations just like Joseph, when we wonder why life seems to be falling apart, may we grasp the verses that tell us that all things truly do work together for the good of them who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. And then, Lord, when the time comes and you deliver us and give us victory in that situation, may we not be vengeful towards those who have hurt us or those who have wronged us. May we embrace them. May we love them. May we be a true example of what Jesus Christ is to a lost and dying world. Father, give us a new perspective because we have been around your word tonight. And I pray that you will bless each and every family that has tuned in. May you give them something a little extra special this week. Increase the joy, increase the peace, and Lord, help them as they walk with you. Now, Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We look forward to seeing you Sunday in the Lord's house, Central Baptist Church.